The Bible teaches that God welcomes sinners into the kingdom. He will welcome in all who call out to him and call on his name. Pastor and author Kevin DeYoung says that has implications for how we live as a family.
So here's the question for your marriage. If you believe with all your heart that you are justified by faith alone, why are you insisting that your spouse be justified by works? Because many of us are. I'm good at the grace thing, God. But that's not gonna work with her. Not for him. He's got to prove this. He's got to crawl. He's got to suffer a little bit.
This is Family Life Today for Friday, March 12th. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. What should grace look like in a marriage relationship? How are we to be dispensers of grace to one another? Pastor and author Kevin DeYoung talks about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I have to tell you, we've been talking all this week about the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. I woke up this morning and just for a minute, I thought I was on board. I mean, I just had that moment where it was like...
It's because it's sunny here in Little Rock. If you lived in Michigan, you wouldn't think that.
Have this feeling.
You can dream.
Yeah, that's right.
2022, can do it.
We are going to be back with our Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise next February. We cannot wait.
Yes.
And apparently, some of you can't wait either, because a lot of you have been calling us this week and saying, okay, we're in. We'll put our deposit down. We want to go on the cruise with you. Valentine's week of 22. And it's going to be an amazing cruise. And I hope a lot of our listeners, I think a lot of us have had cabin fever. Here's our chance to, I mean, I know it's a ways away, but it'll just be special again to be back on board the cruise.
Pull your bathing suits out of those drawers and let's do it.
We always have a great lineup of some great speakers. And this week we've been listening to some of those great speakers from the last decade on board the cruise. I remember the year Kevin DeYoung joined us on the Love Like You Mean It cruise. In fact, I was telling you guys a story. I heard a sermon that Kevin was preaching. This was 4 or 5 years after he'd been on the cruise, and he was telling his congregation, my wife and I were invited to be on this marriage cruise, and one day we're out on our balcony, and we hear this couple nearby, and they're arguing with each other. We thought, oh, this sounds bad, and we prayed for them and were worried and thought, I hope they're okay. He said, later that night, we're in the ballroom, and we hear the same argument happening. It's because it was Jim and Carol Shore's Acts of Renewal who do the skits for us. They'd been rehearsing out on their balcony. And now here they were up on the stage, and he hears it goes, oh, they were just playing. So they met him later and had a chance to say, we'd prayed for you guys. But Kevin is a pastor in North Carolina, in the Charlotte area. He's an author. He's been on Family Life Today a number of times. And the year he was on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise, he went to 1 John 4, which is a passage that's all about the fact that God is love. And he said, what can we learn about marriage by meditating on the idea that God is love? And we're going to hear a portion of his message on that today. Here's Kevin DeYoung.
If God is love, then it stands to reason that he ought to define what love is and what it looks like. We see here the method, the motivation, and the manifestation. Verse 10, first, the method. In this is love, John writes, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, we'll come back to that word in a moment, for our sins. So do you see the method? God's love came about from his will. It was his choice in eternity past to set his affections upon us, to choose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. It was his decision for his glory to love us. So, contrary to popular opinion, God does not love us because we were some diamond in the rough, that then the cross shows how special we are. The cross shows how far we were from God in our sin. What does Paul say in Romans? But that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not look out and say, there's some special people. I got a lot of potential in that one. Oh, wow, she's got a lot going for her. I think I'll send my son for her, 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 and him. It was his choice. Now, what does this mean for marriage? Now, it's not identical because hopefully there are some things that drew you to one another, and he's so intelligent and he's handsome and she's so kind and loving that you were attracted to one another. And yet, there are many, many times in marriage where to love one another is an act of the will. Love is not what holds the marriage together. It is the commitment of marriage that sustains the love. You made promises before God and these witnesses, and you said, forsaking all others, and you said, until death parts us. You called upon God himself to witness these vows, and we treat them so lightly. Love is an act of the will. When you get married, you turn off, hopefully, that part of your brain that would walk into a room when you were single and sort of think, baby, who are you? Like to get you turn that off. Now, forsaking all others, it is you and her, it is you and him. And you make that choice so that instead of saying, today, I will float on clouds of limitless passion as I consider the boundless perfections of my spouse. Good luck. You say, today I will forgive. Today I will cherish, even as I recognize the imperfections of my spouse. So there is an act of the will. You also see the method here is sacrifice. Sacrifice. It says that Jesus' death was a propitiation. Now, what does that word mean? Think of it just the first part of the word, pro. When Christ died for our sins, it made God, who had every right to be angry toward us as his sinful creatures, and God, together with the Son and the Holy Spirit, now, through this act of redemption, are propitious toward us. That means God, who was against us and had every right to be, is now for us. So pro us. You need good words like that. Listen, you need theology to have a strong marriage. You need theological ballast in your boat. Propitiation. So God had every right to condemn us. Now, I don't know what sort of tradition you come from and what sort of church you're a part of. In our church, most Sundays, at the end, I give the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. If you're Baptist, it sounds like you're dismissed. But if you're Presbyterian, that's what we say. Now, I love, and it's right from the Bible. It's from Numbers chapter 6. And I love what R.C. Sproul said many years ago. He said, you want to know what it is to be under the curse of God? Take that blessing and flip it. May the Lord curse you. May the Lord turn his face away from you. May he hide his countenance from you. May he turn his smile away, and may you see nothing but his frowning countenance. God had every right to be angry with us in our sins. And if the gospel has become old, boring news to us, perhaps it's because we don't know how much we have been saved from. And we've forgotten what it is You will not be gracious into your marriage until you know how gracious God has been to you. Sacrifice. He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice, that he who had every right to be against us would be now pro us. When's the last time you've sacrificed something? What have you done for your husband, for your wife, some measure of sacrifice, your time, your energy? Marriage is hard for a simple reason. We're selfish people. Here's our second point. What is our motivation? The method is sacrifice. The method is choice, an act of the will. What about our motivation? Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Now, this is talking about love in the body of Christ, but if that's the case with brothers and sisters, how much more in this covenant of marriage? If God loved us, we also ought to love one another. Some of us have the, you know, "I'll scratch your back so you scratch my back. I'll try to work on this marriage thing so that you'll come and you'll be a better spouse for me." Many Christians have what amounts to Pharisee love. Jesus, remember, said, "You love people so they'll love you back? You do nice things so people will do nice things to you?" The Pharisees get that. The scribes get that. It does not take a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart to get that. Everybody likes that. Everybody likes people to be nice to them. Maybe if I'm nice, they'll be nice. Maybe if I treat my spouse right, then she'll treat me right. Okay, well, we'd like to see that, but the Bible gives us something much better, much deeper. Instead of our human instinct, which says, "I will love in order to be loved," the Bible says, "Love because you have already been loved." That's the difference between anyone else trying to help your marriage and the Bible trying to help your marriage. Love because you have already been loved. That God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgiven you real sins. That God in Christ will justify you by faith alone. We need theology for good marriages. This is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing the 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg. And all around the world, people will be celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and rightly so. And the central doctrine rediscovered in the Reformation is the doctrine of justification by faith alone. That in Christ, we have our sins not only forgiven, but positively we are declared righteous. That he who knew no sins for our sake became sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Justification by faith alone. And it was the word "alone" that was scandalous. Everyone in the 16th century understood. All the Christians knew you are justified by faith. Of course you have to have faith, but it was faith plus something. It was faith and then enough works to show that you're really a Christian. Or it was faith plus the grace working within you. Or it was faith plus your own effort. What they rediscovered was this great gospel truth of justification by faith alone. Alone. So here's the question for your marriage. If you believe with all your heart that you are justified by faith alone, why are you insisting that your spouse be justified by works? Because many of us are. "I'm good at the grace thing, God." But that's not going to work with her. Not for him. He's got to prove this. He's got to crawl. He's got to suffer a little bit. And you say, "But she doesn't deserve another chance." Well, neither do you. And neither do I. We've been given this magnificent grace. We've been given this castle of grace with servants and fine food and the best clothing, and then it's like we take a stranger in and we put him out in the tool sheds out back. No soup for you. The thing that God may want to work on in this week, you may hear be here and you know it's about marriage, but it may just be that God wants to take these few days to convince you again or convince you for the first time that in Christ, your Heavenly Father really loves you. That when you repent of your sins and you turn to Christ, you know the smile of your Heavenly Father. Some of us only relate to God as a judge. Okay, I know I'm going to heaven, all right, but he's just I don't get too close to the judge. What if he's a father who loves you? Maybe you haven't shown grace to your spouse because you really haven't accepted the grace that God wants to show you. Maybe you're so critical because you think God is always casting a critical eye on you. You cannot truly love until you know how much you have been loved. Don't miss what Jesus said about Mary. She's chosen the good part to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. To rekindle that first love, because you know what's more important than this love? It's the love that maybe you've lost with God. And then finally, the manifestation. You see verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Do you see the argument John's making? We have a God, he's invisible. You can't see him. Now, how can you see the evidence of this God? He argues his love is perfected in us. So somebody says, I can't believe in your God. I don't even see him. Say, well, let me show you what this God looks like in his love. Have you met this couple? Now, this here is about the body of Christ again. It is, first of all, about the love that people should see in the fellowship of believers. But if this is true, how much more ought it to be true in our marriage relationships, that we show forth, as Paul says in Ephesians 5, this mystery that is Christ and the church. Do you know your marriage is supposed to be evangelistic? Christ in the church. Have you ever noticed in Ephesians 5 that God gives instructions directly to us at our point of fallenness? So he says in Ephesians 5 to the woman, the sort of overarching instruction there is submit to your husband, respect your husband. Why? Because the prototypical sin of Eve in the garden was to usurp his authority. And as a result of the curse, there is this conflict and there is this unwillingness to respect her husband. Just like at the very beginning when she grabbed the fruit and ignored the command and then gave it to him. And so the command for the woman is respect your husband. And do you see for the man? And just so you know, the instructions for the men are like three times as long there for the wife. It says love. Now, the wife may think, well, that's lame because we already have to love. But notice what it says there. And sacrifice. This is a love as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her. Will you be a man, not just to sacrifice and to love and to show forth God's love in these ways, but how about some of the ways that are harder for you? Men, let us be the ones in marriage who often say the word, let's. Let's go out for dinner. Let's talk about that. Let's get a babysitter. Or how about words that are very hard for some of you men? Let's pray. Those are scary words for some men. And there are wives here waiting years and years to hear their husband say those two simple words. Let's pray. Would you show forth in your relationship what it means to love your wife like Christ loves the church? And wives, will you show your husbands what it means with gracious, graceful, intelligent submission to your husbands? Here's what love looks like. It's 1 Corinthians 13. You choose to be patient when your husband struggles as a leader. You're kind when your wife is critical. You do not envy what the other one has in terms of gifts or position. You do not boast in your strengths while ignoring your weaknesses. You are not rude to each other, especially in public. I shudder when I see couples that are rude to each other in public, and I think, what must it be like for you in private? You do not keep a mental journal of faults and hurts. You know, they're always ready to pull down the file folder, but 3 weeks ago you said that. You do not delight to hurt each other. You rejoice when you have occasion to see the truth, even when you see truth about your own sin. You always protect each other. You always want to find a way to trust each other. You always hope that God can change one another and yourself, and you always persevere in God's grace, knowing his love for you. So let me just leave you with one final question, and it will sound flippant, and I don't mean it to be flippant or funny. I mean it to be deadly earnest. Because if we are supposed to make the love of God visible, and if our marriage is supposed to show forth Christ and the church, then we have to ask ourselves the uncomfortable question, what do people see in our marriage? The secret to a happy marriage is to learn that there is much more to your marriage than being happy. If your marriage is to show forth Christ in the church, it means that ultimately God is the end of your marriage. The secret to a happy marriage is to make the marriage about God and not about your happiness.
Well, there you go. That's Kevin DeYoung. I'm seeing the mic drop, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Just drop the mic, walk off, and go. And that's right.
That's, it is right. Let that sink into your heart.
And Kevin's message from the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise, this was back a number of years ago. Each year on the cruise, you hear messages like this. Each evening there's a session. There are morning devotions. There are breakout sessions that happen during the day for men and for women, optional sessions. There's music. There's comedy. I mean, it is a ton of fun, but it's also spiritually enriching. I know couples who have been 6, 7, 8 times on the cruise, they say it is what we need to get us through the rest of the year.
It is being intentional about your marriage and pouring into the most important relationship in your life. And the cool thing about it is it can be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be playing ping pong or full court basketball or surfing on the top deck of the thing and then go to a session at night. Who can beat that? I mean, you have joy and refreshment at the same time you're working on your marriage.
And if you want to sleep in, you can do that too, because your schedule is your own, but we offer a lot of great things to help.
Including all the soft serve ice cream you want to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Too much.
I don't know if that's good or bad yet.
I don't either. We have just opened up registration for the 2022 Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise, and I got to tell you, it's clear to us a lot of you are ready to go with us, because we're hearing from a lot of people. We're starting to see the cruise fill up for 2022. I know some of you've got questions. We've got answers. Call us at 1-800-FL today if you have questions about the cruise or about what happens if this or that. Call 1-800-FL today. We can answer your questions. We can get you registered over the phone. And right now, there's a special pricing offer that is the lowest price we make available. So if you have any interest in going on the cruise, go to familylifetoday.com for more information or call 1-800-FL today. And we hope you have a great weekend this weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church. And I hope you can join us back on Monday when we're going to talk about what you do as parents if your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law is, I don't know whether to use the word prickly or toxic or somewhere in between those things. Doyle Roth will be here to talk about how we handle in-law relationships that turn out to be hard or unhealthy. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch. Got some extra help this week from our friend Bruce Goff. And of course, our entire broadcast production team was involved. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.